We just want this to be time with you, time for you, time outside of time, Lord, in the things of your heart, the things that matter to you. So whether that be short or long, Lord, already we've had a lot of things come against even being together right now. But we say thank you even for those things, so we can press into you, we can find you, we can seek you with our hearts, Lord, when it's not easy. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Well, there's just a few scriptures that came to my heart for us tonight. And because of time being short, we've only got 3 classes left. And what, 5 chapters or so of the Song of Songs. So instead of just continuing to go verse by verse in chapter 4 and onward, we're just going to skip a little bit, and I'm just asking the Holy Spirit what places to touch upon so that we can be with Him in just the points that maybe He wants to minister to us. Instead of covering everything, we're just going to be where He has us, and hopefully that will minister to your heart and just do what He wants to do. But in the Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." And I have written here, the new life blossoming in her in this resurrection is not reaching far enough. Therefore, God awakens the winds to blow upon her garden, that the spices may flow out to reach others. And I don't know if it was last time, but just a time really recently where the Lord was, or she was beginning to, we talked about from the very first verse, in the very beginning of the song, that she had begun to lay hold of Him by knowing Him by His Spirit and by who He was in His essence, in His nature, and how that can be, it opens up the song. It opens up chambers and doors and veils that seem, impossible for us to enter into, because teaching won't get us there, and rules won't get us there, and deeper scriptures illuminated even by the Spirit of God won't get us there. But when we're able to know Him and to relate to Him by who He is and by His nature, by things that we can't put into words, because those words would be spirit and life, and they would be the flesh of the Lamb that you eat, and the blood, the life of the Lamb that you drink, and the eternal elements of His person that you partake of, like we've been talking about, sheltering in place and piece by piece eating the Lamb, that, you know, those kind of things, you can't just do. You have to cry out and ask the Spirit to open up the sacrifice to you and in you, and take Him in His being, and start knowing Him like that. And man, when that starts happening, you know, that garden inside of you, which is Jesus, the seed of God, the firstborn son, the God's seed in you, he begins to grow, and the things of who He is start forming. And you know, in the beginning, He was her garden. He was her apple tree. He was all the fruits and all the fragrances and all the ointments and all the eternal elements of His being were hers to bathe and to feast upon, to rest under, to chamber within, to live and breathe and be baptized in the deepest, truest sense, baptized into His person. And oh, what a refuge! Oh, what a garden He is! What a beautiful person for nature. And here, by the middle of the song, she's beginning to be a garden, because that life that she found to be better than wine, to be better than the highest treasure of everything in the whole world, Now he's beginning to take ground in her, that treasure, that person that she loved more than her own life, that pearl of great price that she just said, I'll sell it all to get him, my first love, you know, him. And all of a sudden, you know, you don't even know how. Jesus starts coming forth, that one you've been looking in the face of and partaking of by the Spirit of who he is. All of a sudden, that garden inside of us starts to blossom. And Jesus starts to form and grow. And you know, there were many, many obstacles, even when she began in love. And she began in loving him for him and seeking him for him and pressing in to not let go of him, even when she did let go of him, and pressing past fears and past failures and all the things that could have just took her out of that relationship of knowing and loving and the him of him, the himness, the withness, the wonder, the awe, the relationship. She could have let so many things steal that from her. But instead, she gathered them all up into love. And she kept loving him, kept seeking him, kept wanting him, kept crying out for him. And you know, you can cry out for Jesus in failure. You can cry out for Jesus in emptiness and in a heart that is divided and isn't as it should be. You can cry out for Jesus, because when he comes in us, when he begins to grow, his life begins to release and fill us. I mean, it's a whole different world. It's the Son. It's another person. And yeah, you know, we are a mess and we are not Jesus. And we are the one that was crucified with him. And I am not but the vessel of the one who is. But when he comes, when he appears, when his beautiful Spirit starts releasing within us, in our attitudes, in our ways, in our thoughts, in our intentions, in how we evaluate things and see things, in the motives and the meditations of our heart, he starts appearing in our motives, he starts appearing in our thoughts, he starts taking those things captive by his Spirit. You know, we're always trying to, I don't want to have this thought, I need to not do this, I need to try to just change this in me, you know, but Jesus is the change, and his Spirit in us begins to grab a hold of those things. And he doesn't just take them down. He fills the whole area up with a new spirit and a new heart and a new mind. And it's him in us. And she's begun to blossom with life. He said, you are a fountain of gardens, a well of living water. I mean, a streams from Lebanon. We couldn't go into all the details on those things we were going to start to, but for time we won't have that time. But in essence, she's found him. And in finding him, he's begin to release in her, in his nature, in his life, and he's there. She's becoming a garden for him to walk through, a place of refuge and rest for him, a garden of delights for his heart and fellowship. I mean, her seeking him in that way is bringing to him one after his kind. It is his life in her. She's not earning it or trying to fake it or be the lamb for the lamb. It's him in her. But it's her bearing him, and that brings him fellowship. And it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful that everything else pales. Whatever is going on in our life, whatever failures, whatever lack, whatever need, whatever deep rebellion and issue that is so us, this Lamb of God, when he comes inside of us and is allowed to just be who he is in his Spirit and life, as we yield and cry out and love and anoint him King and just let him take us as his home, he makes all those changes. He's our hope. Christ in us is the hope of glory. He is our hope. He's our everything. And he's not, you know, a class or an ideal, like I just need Jesus, and it can become this, I just need Jesus, like a mantra or a doctrine of I just need Jesus, or some Christian thing you do to be right in some weird way. No, it's a heart that's in moments, in motives, in thoughts, in yearnings and churnings of the inward parts, it says, I just need you. I want you. I love you. You are why I'm on this earth. You are the reason I get up in the morning. You're the reason I lie down at night. You're the reason I go through dark nights and make them gardens of delight, because you're there. Though I walk through it, you're with me, and you've prepared a table in the presence of mine enemies. You're anointing, you're filling, you are the wonder of wonders. And Jesus, you're in me. When we're together through it all, you make the wilderness blossom. You make this wilderness blossom. You make the rock have water. The rock of my old heart can gush with life. Because Jesus, you're in my heart. You're in that seed is in the wilderness, the barrenness of me. There's a seed that can blossom. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we just keep our hearts, we just keep our heart on Jesus. That's what she had to do over and over again. She just keep Jesus. Keep Jesus alive in our hearts. We don't want to let discouragement, failure, our condition turn us away from loving Him with all our heart, our strength, our soul, and our mind, of keeping that channel, that heart channel of looking into His face and lifting up the eyes of our heart to Him, fixing our gaze and not letting these things that torment our souls break gaze with the Lamb, that we would keep our focus, our heart focus on Jesus, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. Don't break union in your heart. And He's holding us in oneness based on His death, but I'm speaking of a heart relating. Stay in life, stay in the vitality of the vine and the branch. Just don't let the little foxes break away the wonderful joining where you're just His and He's just in you. I mean, I think there's a time we have to guard our hearts, because out from them issues life, the Proverbs that tell us. But the life that's issuing out of our hearts, that's Jesus, the Son of God, the beautiful one, the one that everything was created for, the one of the Father's deepest desirings, the Spirit's constant care for that Jesus in us to grow. You know, we protect Him. We fight for His life. We don't fight to be right. We don't fight to get our way. We don't fight to prove our point. We don't fight to explain how spiritual we are and how much we love the Lord to other people. We fight so the Lamb of God can stay alive, can be protected in us, can have a place in us to be a person with a nature that wants to live through us. We fight for Him. We fight for His life, not ours. We're crucified, and it's a wonderful thing, so that He can just be everything in us. So we protect Him, and we stay plugged in with heartstrings and heart hands and living faith, and we gather our gaze up into that person. And instead of looking at Him from within ourself, we see through the Father's eyes and through the eyes of the Spirit, dove's eyes. We behold Him from within them. And we're lifted out of ourselves, out of our failures, out of our problems, out of our own condition, into the condition of the Son, into the ground of His heart for the Father, into the wonder of, you want to talk about good ground. Jesus' heart is good ground. You want to have the right spirit. Oh, Jesus has the right spirit. You want to treat people right. Oh, Jesus. Oh, how He treats them right. And if we put all our heart towards just letting Him, knowing Him, letting Him possess our heart, be the life in our hearts, live through us, He's going to do all that, and He does it well. He does it Oh, he's just perfect. He's just perfect. He's not something we have to figure out. He's alive, and he lives. He's so beautiful. Patient, long-suffering. Those aren't things he has to do or teach us how to let him do. And he's that way. When he forms in us, when his nature is forming in us, like Galatians 4:19 speaks of, he is that way. His spirit is that way. It's not just what he does. It's the spirit he does it in. It's the way he is. You know, there could be a room full of people and they're all doing the same thing and saying the same words, but if there's someone just full of love and selfless giving and care and just a different nature, yes, you can feel that. Not just as a feeling, but a discernment of nature. And Jesus, he's the one. He's the one. Not just now, but forever. And the one is in us. And she's been going after the one. And yes, things have pulled her off track. All kinds of things have taken her away from the one in her heart. But this Song of Songs, it tells us that she got back on track. She got back with him, whom her soul loveth. Him. And it resonates throughout the whole Song of Songs. Him. It's just dripping with Jesus. Just dripping with the Lamb of God. And a heart that just wants to be soaked and dunked and baptized and filled up and overtaken. To be a garden, but then be a builder of gardens until there's vineyards that have to produce so much so he can get more. I mean, she's so caught up in him that even when she falls and even when the enemy comes in and even when her own flesh overtakes her, it's not very long before she gets up and she just gets back to the one she loves. And he's, you know, he may withdraw himself, he may be dealing with her heart, but he's always wanting her to get back up and come. However many times she failed, and we see it in chapter 3, we see it in chapter 5, very heartbreaking, deep failures. But there's a chapter 8 where she's past that because she kept going. A chapter 8 where she's just given so other people can have his life too, at the cost of not just her own, but his dying through her. Maybe chapter 3, she thought there would be no chapter 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. And then when she failed in chapter 5, she thought, well, there's not going to be a chapter 6 or 7 or 8. But there is a chapter 6 and 7 and 8 in her life. Not because she's special. Not because the Bible person has to be better than all the rest of us because they're in the Bible, but they're there as an example for us upon whom the ends of the world have come, who have Jesus truly in us, not just in type and shadow, but we are born again of incorruptible seed. Jesus, the real Jesus, he's in us. If you're born again, God's Son is in you. He's in you. The person of Jesus, he's in there. And we fail, and we do. But we have to get those hearts back. We have to get those hearts back with just what? How do I do it? You don't do anything. You're a failure. You're a mess. You're not the hope. There's no hope in you. You will always contaminate it all. And I will, all flesh is flesh and it contaminates. Fallen man. The old nature. But Jesus is pure as the driven snow, whiter than the snow, purer than the purest of all. There's not a blemish in him, in motive or intent, in thought, in attitude. He's pure, so pure, the spotless Lamb of God. And we have a whole flock of things going on. Sometimes we have a whole herd of pigs running around. Sometimes we're like pig farmers you read about in Gospel of Mark. You know, they're just herders of pigs instead of shepherds of lambs. And sometimes we're just full of beasts and pigs and things and motives and intents and thoughts and reactions and ways we treat people. And oh, it's bad. And then we got another flock of fake lambs where we just pretend it to be Jesus, but it isn't really him. It's just us trying to be. And that's just as bad. But if we're born again, in the middle of all of those flocks of fake lambs and goats and pigs that we should never be cultivating or herding or feeding in us, there is one little tiny spotless lamb somewhere in the fields of our heart. There is, if you are born again, a spotless little lamb, and his name is Jesus. And you can walk through those pastures within you, and you can walk right past those pigs that you've been feeding and you shouldn't have been, just like the prodigal did when he was in that far country. And you can walk past those goats that stick their heels in the mud and have just selfishness, just trying to get its way all day. That old nature that is us apart from Jesus. You can walk past all that religion and all that fakey Jesus stuff that isn't really his spirit, and people can feel that. And you can find the Lamb. And there's a Holy Spirit in us who will help us do that. And we can pick him up out of the flocks and the herds, and we can say, you're the one. You may be this tiniest little motive, the little preemie. You may be the unformed one in the pack. That hog may be so huge, it just takes half the ground. But though you're little, you can fill the whole earth with your glory, the whole temple with your smoke, Jesus, with your nature. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to exalt you and hold you close and focus on you. And now I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to water you, and I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to let you form in the womb of my heart until you are so healthy that you can come out of me in your beautiful spirit, and the pigs won't come out, and the goats won't come out, and the beasts won't come out. But Jesus, you're my hope, and you're in me. And I don't have time. I don't have time to mess with all these other things that crowd the temple, when there's an unblemished, spotless lamb that I can embrace, call him my life, identify him as the treasure in this big old field of rocks, and say, oh Lord, you're so valuable to me. You're more valuable than life itself. And I'm sorry for feeding these pigs. And I'm sorry for letting that goat, these flock of goats, or this herd of goats, devour the precious things of your word, eating garbage. And they shouldn't be, pearls shouldn't be cast before those swine. And the goats shouldn't be eating what belongs to the lamb. And I'm sorry, Lord. But true repentance is turning. Not just crying and feeling bad all day. There's no fruit in that. Or true repentance is getting past all that big, huge hog and that horrible, dirty goats, and finding the Lamb that is in me, the Father put in me, birthed by the Spirit of God, and taking him to the center of my heart and protecting him and not feeding those things anymore. Feeding him and focusing on him and cultivating heart for him and watering him, seeking him, and searching the word for him, and letting him renew my mind, and letting him renew me the spirit of my mind, and letting him take ground in my heart, and letting him overtake these areas that have been governed by self and flesh and the enemies of his spirit. I just, Lord, I can't let you go. And you just do that in the darkest hours, in the most unformed places. You find him whom your soul loveth. And we saw her do it in chapter 3. She had to run through those dark, old, dirty streets of the city. And if she was, we talked about her being that city. And she just had to run through those city streets that were all dark in her and say, I got to find him, the Lamb. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? I've got to find him, and I've got to hold him, and I've got to never let him go. You know, you see the heart that she has for him. Yeah, we see the failures, but it pressed her out of herself into a impassioned heart pursuit of him. And it brought her to a place where she was going to hold him and value him and love him. And mature in love. Mature in love. It wasn't always going to be about herself now. It's going to be about him. There's going to be a new focus, a new importance to just to him, to how she's doing, or to him. And he will guide her. And, you know, here in chapter 5, even now, after life has blossomed in her, in the garden of her heart, his life blossoming in her, coming forth in spirit and in fragrance, speaking of nature, attitude, this essence of his being and our attitudes and responses. I mean, she's a fragrant garden. He is the living one, is living through her, and it's he's bringing forth fruit. He's that fruit of his life coming. But even after that stage of maturity, she still had areas that were her own, not taken by his spirit. Areas that were ungoverned by him, not him. And in chapter 5, verse 2, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. And you go to yourself, how can I be asleep right now? How is it that I could be asleep after all me and Jesus have been through, and the battles, and the intimacy, and the way he shared his heart, and the visitations of his word, and his being in the word, the sharing of his heart to me. How could I fall asleep on him? We know Peter and James and John did it at one of the most beautiful and intimate hours of his life as a lamb on the earth. And those were his three closest disciples. And she's like, I'm sleeping, and I hate it, and I hate it for him. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to sleep because it's an escape from, I don't know how to deal with all my problems, so I'm just going to sleep because it's too much for me to care, to bear, or just sleeping because we're content with some measure of knowing the Lord, and it's enough for us, so we just go into a sleep state, not a living union, not a loving, passionate, Jesus, you must manifest through me, and I must gather all things into your beautiful nature, fellowship with you there, give you place to be, you know, she just fallen asleep. But the rest of that sentence in chapter 5, verse 2 says, but my heart waketh. And there it is. I just felt the Lord wants to look at that verse. I sleep. You know, she's not denying it. She's not trying to justify it. You know, I'm tired, or I don't know. I guess we always try to make an excuse, but deep inside we know I'm a mess. I fell asleep on the Lord. He needed me and I slept. And it was just my flesh, me just feeding self. She said, I sleep. But the second half of the sentence is, but my heart waketh. My heart waketh. What is waking up her heart, even when she's sleeping? It's not somebody telling her to shape it up, get better, follow the rules, you know, toe the party line, do better, you know, love Jesus more, come on. You know, that is not waking up her heart. But her heart is waking, even when she's sleeping. And it is the voice of my beloved. His voice starts waking up that sleeping heart. His voice starts to wake her heart up. Not her religion, not her fear, not her legalism, and not the voice of her beloved wakes her heart up. She says, it's the voice of my beloved that's knocking. And I love that he's not talking to her. It's a voice that's knocking. I don't know what a knocking voice sounds like in our realm of the five senses, but in the spirit, her beloved wasn't talking to her in words, as we perceive that, which always needs to be something. What is he saying? What is Jesus saying to me right now? What is the beloved trying to tell me? I need to figure it out. I need to write it down. I need to analyze it. I need to know it in my mind. His voice is knocking. It doesn't matter what the knocks are made of in words and thoughts. And what matters is he's knocking on her door. If you had to put a word on it, I think he'd say this. And he does. Open to me. Open to me. Open to me. Open to me. He's not saying, don't sleep. Get better. Try harder. You're a mess. Open to me. Open to me. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. Many people think that's about salvation, and maybe it is. I certainly don't know anything like I ought. But I always hear it as him knocking on the hearts of his own people, saying, open to me, my beloved. Let me come in and sup with you. Let me come into the inner chambers and be me and you. I know we're already, you know, in the kingdom here. We're already in relationship or whatnot, but open to me. There's so much more for us, of me, the one you love, and the garden of that love, of that nature in you for me. Open, open to me. Can we hear him knocking on the door of our heart? Can we hear beyond words? Can we hear the hymn of the knocking? And can we hear that there's not instructions, but open to me, a heart cry to his love. Open to me. Don't shut the door on me. Don't seek something else. Don't fall asleep to me. Open. Open to me. You know, that wakes up something in us that is of love. It wakes up a part of us. We go, Lord, I'm trying so hard. I keep doing everything wrong, and I don't know anymore. But has that part of our heart that is just his awakened to his voice and opened to him? You know? And then it becomes him, about him. Again, even after missing the Lord and falling asleep and being out of tune. But remember, there's this chapter 6, 7, and 8 after this failure, just like there was a chapter 4 after chapter 3. Open to me, my sister. Listen to the words now that he does say in his knocking voice, K-N-O-C-K, knocking, that we might open to him voice. His words say, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. I mean, wow, what words coming from his heart. My head is filled with dew. Interestingly, his head is filled with dew, not information, in legalistic demands. His head, he is the head of the body. He is full of the dew of the night. The drops of the night are filling his locks, you know, just. I always see him as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, travailing before he goes to the cross. This travailing and suffering of his soul. And his locks are filled with the drops of the night because he's in it. He's in it. He's in that trial of his faith. He's in that time of suffering, the agony, drinking the cup and bearing the sin of the world and giving himself to the Father in death and all the beauty of the Lamb, going through it in real time. And he's not about information. His head is not full of a sermon
a teaching or an admonition. It's just full of the locks and drops of the night. It's full of the sweat and the blood and the reality of living this nature in the earth and not wanting to be alone, but wanting us right there with him, fellowshipping with him in his sufferings, not sleeping through it, but being with him. He's saying, oh, come be with me, open to me. I'm not asking you to open to me the information, the teaching, the lamb you love. Open to me. I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it. I'm going through it. And I want you here with me, being us together in real ways. He's full of the situation. He's full of the trial. He's full of the real elements of being the lamb in an earth that is dark and is going to crucify him. And he comes to her, myrrh's dripping off him. He's starting to release that lamb spirit. He's starting to go into death, and it's just, he's soaked with the spirit of the lamb manifesting through him in that hour, that 11th hour before the cross. And he's, oh, be with me. And he's reaching into her heart and trying to open that door and bring her into him whom is a lamb, her one love. And her response is, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? How is the word that stood out to me. How do I be with you when everything you've done has clothed me and given me soul? How do I take my coat off that you put on me? And suffer and be with you in that situation that is so hard, uncomfortable. I washed my feet. Now you want me to defile them? To be with you in this extremely unjust, uncomfortable, and horrible situation. How shall I defile my feet to be with you? How shall I take the coat you gave me off? I don't know. My coat is precious to me. You gave it to me. It covers me. My feet have been washed by you, Jesus, right before you went to the cross. Now you want me to get them dirty? Being with you in this very hard situation. But something of the release of his spirit just caught her. I mean, oh, he's just essence rich. That lamb nature is just pouring out of him, and it's filling the room. It's dripping off the handle that he reached for to open her heart. It's just dripping with myrrh, and she, oh, even though she doesn't want to take that coat that he gave her off and defile those clean feet that he cleaned, she's moved by him, even in the midst of all that resistance. And no, oh, he still just draws her heart out. And she says, my beloved put his hand on the door, the latch of the door, which is her heart. This is verse 4. And my heart was moved for him. My heart was moved for him. Her heart still loves him. It's still being moved for him. So she rises up to open. Now she's ready. She's ready. She's ready to open. I'm in it. I want it. I do. Lord, I'm sorry. At first it was about me. I'm going to come. I want to open to you. You knocked with myrrh dripping hands. I know I made it about me at first, but I want you. I'm going to open to the beloved. My hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. And I opened, verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but he had withdrawn himself. My soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen found me. This is verse 7. They smote me. They wounded me. They took my veil away. Verse 9. Where is my beloved? She's going, I know that I didn't respond at first as I should have. But I did respond from my heart to you. And now I can't find you. And worse than that, these watchmen are wounding me, and I still don't know where you are. I don't understand. Why would you withdraw when you called all those tender words to me with the drops of the night? You came to me in that hour to be with you. Why? Why would you withdraw? And he doesn't show up, except these younger Shulamites, if you will, these younger virgins of daughters of Jerusalem, say to her, who is thy beloved more than any beloved? Who is this? Who could this be that draws you like this? It's got you stirred up like this, that has your heart like this. And from verses 10 to 16, she just describes him. Well, I believe he starts appearing. I believe she just begins to release the him that is in her. And I believe that he, and I think this is key in certain ways of knowing him, that he doesn't want to just be found, but he wants to be found in the way he wants to be found. I say that because I see it in the Song of Songs, and I'm not saying that's right. I'm just submitting it to you to ask the Lord to find yourself. But it seems to me that he doesn't want to just be found, but he wants to be found in a certain way. You see that in chapter 3. He did not let her find him until she sought him with all her heart and would not let him go until she brought him into her mother's house. Here in chapter 5, she enters into suffering. Those watchmen smote her. They took the veil from her. He was suffering, dripping with myrrh, going through that agony in the garden. And he wanted her with him in a very specific way, a way that was based on who he is and how he needed her to be with him. And for her to just rise, you know, go through, I don't want to, I guess, I don't know, get up and yes, be moved by him from her heart, but just real easily open the door and there he is. He's like, no, we're not going to do that. It's too, I don't want to say too easy and misrepresent his heart, but I believe it is. It's too easy. He's not just wanting to be found by opening up the door after all that sleep and self. Really, really showing him, I love you, but my sleep and my flesh and my comfort and my robe and my clean feet and all this is more important to me than being with the you of you as a lamb. And so he said, no, I can't. I cannot reward that. I cannot reveal myself there. This is not who I am. I'm a lamb. I'm in suffering. I will show forth myself when you find the me that I am. So I can't appear at that point to you. But come out and seek me, the me that is calling to you, a lamb, suffering, wanting this communion, this entering in. And she goes into suffering. The watchmen smite her. They take the veil away. And who knows, there he is, inside of her, appearing. Coming forth. Here he is. He's in you. You're running away from the places where I want to appear in you. I'm a lamb. I'll go into that garden and I'll sweat blood and I'll do it for my enemies and I'll be a, yes, Father, thy will. I will take this cup from me if you can, but thy will be done. I mean, Jesus, this is the Jesus that's in us. He's like, listen, I'll be me in you. But who I am is a lamb. And I go through this stuff for my Father and for others. And I'll go through it within you, because it's me in you going through it, the lamb. And he said, I don't want to appear to you as a reward for sleeping or just opening the latch. Doing it from your heart, amen, but I want to be found in those places where you can fellowship with me in my nature, where you can yield to me for who I am in real life situations. And she may not realize that she's doing that in verse 6 or so of chapter 5, but I believe she is. She's yielding to him, may not even know it. She's saying, I'll go into the suffering. I will, all those things that I wanted to be comfortable and stay with my precious garments of righteousness or whatever I thought they were that made me safe from the cross, my clean feet that kept me safe from being with the Lamb, walking with him and following the lamb whithersoever he goes, all those things that I treasured. I'm willing to get dirty. I'm willing to get the ripped robe because he's bearing sufferings. I'm willing to get those dirty feet to follow the lamb into unjust situations in this earth life. I am willing to run through those city streets and get smote by the watchman. But I'm not willing to do it to earn something. I'm willing to do it that he might appear in me, that I might find him in me, being who he is through me, in the way he wants to appear in me and be my life. And by the time she gets to verse 9, he's already showed up. But he's showed up inside of her because she went through the things she needed to go through to find him as her life in that way, the way he needed her to find him, not the way she thought she was supposed to. And at the end of that, who is he? And she's able to just from head to toe describe him and just gather their hearts into that one that they might follow him, find him and be a vessel of his life also. And he would have more. So I don't know what all that is, means what, I don't know. I know I need the Lord. I just desperately need him, and I groan so deep for him right now. And the ways we're speaking of, I just, yay and amen, all of it for me personally. And I don't want my heart to sleep, but it does. And when it wakes up, I want to let it wake up. And if it doesn't open the latch the way it should, then I want to get up and go through the door anyway and run through the city streets. And if the watchman smite me, I want to find the Lamb appearing in me there. And I want to be with him the way he needs me, not the way I think he should. I want him, the real him. And I know he wants us, all of us. He died so he could have us in these ways that he needs. Oh, Lord, we just cry out from our hearts, Lord. We don't stop in chapter 2. We don't stop in chapter 3 or chapter 5. We find him whom our soul loveth. We find that lamb that is in us. We protect him. We feast upon. We nurture. We love. We give our hearts to him. We behold him. We do not break gaze. And when we do, we keep going. Lord, if he withdraws himself, that's not rejection, it's a form of drawing us deeper, that we might find him in the true and eternal ways that he needs us and that will forever mold and craft us into the oneness that he has cherished and dreamt of forever, Lord. Lord, help us to weigh things in the light of Jesus' heart, not in our carnal understandings, not in the earth beneath. Oh, but Father, from within the heart of Jesus, who is in us and whom we are in, let us evaluate everything from what really matters. And let us not allow anything to stop us or to steal the wonder and the intimacy of plugging in by love and finding him. And him finding us in ways that are eternal. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for time at your feet and at your heart and in your eyes and beyond this earth, in your heart, Lord, your eternal heart. So just minister to each one tonight, Lord, each one, right where they're at. Minister the living word of your heart. Make it a flame. Make your word a knocking and an opening and a drawing. Let us hear your voice and none other. You alone draw us out, Jesus. You alone. So we thank you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.